Welcome to episode number 11 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is October 31st, 2016, and I am Rollo McFlugel of McFlugel.com. Unfortunately for us, but fortunately for Slappy, Slappy Jones 2 will not be joining us tonight. He had an issue, we'll call it an issue, that he's taking care of, and I'll let him talk about it next week if he so chooses, but it's one of the few things that excuses you from missing one of our weekly podcast episodes. So, go over a few things. The show notes page for today's episode will be mcflugel.com/11. I want to give a little hat tip to Tom Woods for his recent ebook for letting me know about a WordPress add-on called PrettyLinks, where you can take a weird, long, confusing URL and then create your own little short and easy one to remember. So, if you've noticed in previous episodes, I've never given the show notes page URL because I'm not going to say mcflugel.com/2016/10/31/ a title that I didn't even come up yet at that point. So we're not going to do the normal thing where Slappy introduces the topic for the episode for tonight, so I'm going to have to do that. So yesterday I posted an article entitled, "Does the Delaware Catholic Advocacy Network Think War is Important?" So if you haven't read it, and I will link it in the show notes page, the article, 2 weeks ago I was at Mass, and at the end of Mass, the priest instructed us and said, "Hey, in the parish bulletin, make sure you check out this insert that's there. It is titled, 'Know the Positions of the Presidential Candidates.'" And churches do this often around election cycles. They want to make sure that people know about the issues regarding politics that the church cares a lot about. And then they list the positions for each candidate. I don't think it crosses any lines with the separation of church and state or anything. I think it's a good thing that they do this. So I was very interested to see what the issues they listed were. And I'm holding it right in front of me, and I can link to it in the show notes page again. But, you know, they have the things like abortion, death penalty, doctor-prescribed suicide, educational choice, environmental responsibility, freedom of religion, healthcare access for the uninsured, immigration, international security, marriage, poverty, and finally refugees displaced by terrorism. Now, I don't know if you noticed one that was missing, one of the issues, but I certainly did, and it was one I was looking for and was really kind of disappointed that I didn't find it there. And that issue is war. You know, they had international security, but it was just about how Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump would deal with the problem of ISIS. It doesn't really get to the issue of war itself. And really, this is kind of a microcosm, in my view, how religion, and I'm going to talk, being a Catholic, I'm going to talk a lot about the Catholic Church and some Christianity here, but this can really be applied to all religions as far as I know. I'm not aware of really any religion out there that is really outspoken about war in general. But it's really frustrating for me as a Catholic that we're told, correctly told, that we should be respecting life. And to read the header that they have highlighted on the top of this pamphlet, "Any politics of human dignity must seriously address issues of racism, poverty, hunger, employment, education, housing, and health care. Therefore, Catholics should eagerly involve themselves as advocates for the weak and marginalized in all these areas. But being right in such matters can never excuse a wrong choice regarding direct attacks on innocent human life. Indeed, the failure to protect and defend life in its most vulnerable stages renders suspect any claim to the rightness of positions in other matters affecting the poorest and the least powerful of the human community. If we understand the human person as the temple of the Holy Spirit, the living house of God, then these latter issues fall logically into place as the crossbeams and walls of that house. All direct attacks on innocent human life, such as abortion and euthanasia, strike at the house's foundation. These directly and immediately violate the human person's most fundamental right, the right to life. That is taken from The Living Gospel of Life, number 22, the Pastoral Statement of the U.S. Catholic Bishops, 1998. So what that basically means is that while it might be important, some issues that are being discussed by government and politics, the most important thing is to make sure that life is protected and respected. So, for example, it would take, when you're weighing each candidate, the weight you put on whether or not they want to have the minimum wage to be set at $14 an hour or $15 an hour matters a lot less than their position on, say, the death penalty. So while the minimum wage does have potential moral effects on the world and people, it's not as direct as ending someone's life as the death penalty is. So that's what they mean there. So obviously, and I understand that a lot of people might not be against abortion listening to this, and we will discuss that during a later podcast, I'm sure. The doctor prescribes suicide. That's another issue that people who aren't Christian or Catholic might disagree with on, which, and that's fine. But we're talking about a fundamental right to life. And I think that's, you don't have to be a religious person to really find that as an important issue, that life should be protected, that we shouldn't go around murdering each other. So as I said earlier, where's war on this? How many people in the Middle East have to die with these wars that are being fought by the United States over the past, you know, how many years? Since World War II, we've basically been in an endless state of war. Now, we may not hear, they might not be declared wars, of course. We may not know about them while they're going on, but they still happen. And to give a more recent history, since the attacks on September 11th, we've been in a state of war since then, the last 15 years or so. We've been in Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, Syria, Yemen, Egypt, Libya, and the list goes on. And I don't think it really matters who gets elected president next between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. I believe that those wars will basically continue and will probably be in more wars. So, and we know that the wars aren't clean. That is to say that when the United States targets somewhere, it's not that they only hit the enemy targets. They only hit the bad guys. A lot of civilians end up dying in these wars, completely unnecessarily. You know, they say that, you know, drone strikes are very precise and accurate, and we have these smart bombs. They can hit a 1 square yard target. But then we see on the news that there's a wedding got hit by a drone strike, and, you know, say 20 people died as a result. You know, I believe the death count over the last, you know, 15 years or so is several hundred thousand civilians in the Middle East have died from these wars. And now we have, looking at Yemen, the blockading that they're doing, where 90% of the wheat and rice that is eaten by the people in Yemen is imported. So if you take that away, that's a major, major source of food for these people. How many people are going to die as a result of that? We look back during the Bill Clinton administration when Madeleine Albright was on, I believe, 60 Minutes and got asked about the blockade of Iraq. And she was asked about the 500,000 children that died as a result of that blockade. And she said, she didn't debate whether or not it was 500,000 kids or not. She didn't argue that. She said, we believe that it was worth that price. 500,000 kids. I know it's easy because it's on the other side of the world. And these wars are never fought in our backyards. So it makes it so much easier for us to not see the evils and the horribleness that happens, because it's not directly affecting us. But if you're a Christian, if you're a Catholic, if you find yourself to be a religious person, or even just someone who cares about human beings, that shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter where the war is fought. So as I said before, it's extremely frustrating to me to hear the silence that I hear from the Catholic Church and religions in general about wars. Sure, during the petitions they'll say, we pray to end war and that we have peace in the world. And that's great. But the fundamental idea of war is largely accepted among religions and among people in general. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. If we look at the Gospels, if we look at the Bible, you know, what does Jesus say to do? He says to turn the other cheek. When does Jesus say, hey, if that person does something bad to you, go out and get him even worse? So yeah, the attacks on 9/11 were horrible. Absolutely horrible. Now let's not forget too that history did not begin on September 11th, 2001. The United States and a lot of Western countries were doing a lot of bad things in the Middle East, causing a lot of hatred, and really they were the catalyst behind getting people to fly planes into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and a field in Pennsylvania. That, of course, doesn't excuse those terrorist attacks, but it's important to know why they happened. So let me read the very first paragraph of the first chapter of the book called Resist Not Evil by Clarence S. Darrow, because this kind of really explains my sentiment well about what has happened with religion and the ideas they have behind war. In this heroic age, given to war and conquest and violence, the precepts of peace and goodwill seem to have been almost submerged. The pulpit, the press, and the school unite in teaching patriotism and in proclaiming the glory and beneficence of war. And one may search literature almost in vain for one note of that peace on earth and goodwill toward men, in which the world still professes to believe. And yet these benign precepts are supposed to be the basis of all the civilization of the Western world. Now, Darrow wrote that in 1903. So that's over 100 years ago, which I read that passage only a few minutes ago. I was thinking about this whole issue the last few weeks. I had read this book before, but I just decided a few minutes ago or a few hours ago to record this episode on this topic. So right before the podcast started, I pulled the book out and opened to page one, because I remember it began with some talk about war. So it makes me feel, I don't know if it makes me feel better or worse about this, that this problem that I feel with churches teaching patriotism above respect for life, that war can be a good thing instead of war is evil and war is horrible. That problem has existed for over 100 years, and Clarence Darrow felt the need to write a book about it. So it's not a new thing. Now, to give another example of when this happened to me, when I first moved to where I am now, it was a little over a year ago, I was going to a parish that was a little closer to the one that I go to now. And it was not long after one of the terrorist attacks that happened in Paris, where during the homily the priest said that these attacks by Islamic extremists are aimed at Christianity. They are aimed at Christians. It is a war on Christians. And that's just not true. Although they're wrong, they're retaliating against all the atrocities committed against them by Western nations. So after Mass, I approached the priest and said, I don't think the terrorist attacks were caused because of some war against Christianity. If we really want to solve this problem of terrorism, it's happening in the world, and in our own country sometimes, we really need to be careful to make sure that we know what the root cause is. Because if we don't know what the root cause is, we'll never solve the problem. Or if we do, it'll be by accident. And the chances of accidentally doing the right thing in this kind of situation is basically zero. So if we're not honest about what the problem is, about why people would go out and strap bombs to themselves or fly planes into buildings, then how do we expect to have peace in the world? And his response to me was, "Well, I see that you're a student of politics, and keep that up." And that was it. And that was just so discouraging to me that he would basically just pat me on the head, say, "Oh, you had a thought. Good job." And that was it. He wasn't interested in discussing this. He wasn't interested in someone coming up to him and saying, "Hey, I think you're wrong about this really important issue." He just immediately brushed me aside. So what's the problem here? I think that much of the world's religion and the people who adhere to them have fallen trapped to this patriotism and proclaiming the glory and beneficence of war that Darrow described. That it clouds the judgment, that we're the good guys, we're fighting on the right side. You know, we pledge allegiance in the morning, we sing the national anthem. You know, this is the country that apparently freed the slaves. This is the country that stopped Hitler. Now, if you look back at those wars, the Civil War was not fought to free the slaves. And in World War II, yes, Hitler was stopped. But it also helped Stalin and Mao retain power and go on massive killing sprees of their own. So, judging the intentions, you can't, that's not the only thing you can do. And really, you can't just judge your own intentions when it comes to war. I don't think your average person, I don't think the priest on the pulpit, the rabbi in synagogue, or the or any other religious figure believe that they're doing wrong by not being against these wars. I truly believe, just like you, just like anybody else you talk to who might be in favor of these wars, they believe that the United States and the military are doing the right thing, but they're not. So we need to look back on what actually happened, why we went to war. Were there weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? No. Were the terrorists that flew the planes into the World Trade Center on September 11th? Were they from Afghanistan? No. They were from Saudi Arabia. So if we're not constantly re-examining what's going on, we're basically flying blind. And if we're flying blind, we don't know where we're going. So we could be going down a wrong path. And I think we are, speaking to, you know, religion and much of the world. Because war flies in the face of everything that religion teaches, whatever religion that may be. Yet overall, it's still largely supported. So ask yourself this question. If you think that it's wrong for you and I to fight on an individual level to solve our problems and to use violence, what makes it right for governments whose politicians use other people to fight to solve their problems for them, using unspeakable violence? So to finish, I want to read the next paragraph of Resist Not Evil. "The doctrine of non-resistance, if ever referred to, is treated with derision and scorn. At its best, the doctrine can only be held by dreamers and theorists, and can have no place in daily life. Every government on earth furnishes proof that there is nothing practical or vital in its teachings. Every government on earth is the personification of violence and force. And yet the doctrine of non-resistance is as old as human thought. Even more than this, the instinct is as old as life upon the earth." So, hopefully I gave you something to think about if you're not already against war. So with that, remember, the show notes page for today's episode is mcflugel.com/11. Where you will find links to subscribe to the podcast, whether it be on Stitcher or iTunes or on YouTube. Also, be sure to like us on Facebook and follow Slappy and I on Twitter. And please, if you like what we had to say, leave a comment, give us feedback, tell us where we went right or went wrong, and share us. We're trying to spread the message about liberty, and you are probably even more important than we are in helping us spread this message, since you can get the word out. We make some content, but you guys are the ones that send it out to your friends and family and try to help us change some minds. So, have a good night, and we'll see you next week. Thanks.